good singing all the way around. Here's a note, 82 years. Oh, that's Brother Nolan's birthday. I lose focus real easy, so I have to kind of write a note or two. And so take your Bible, if you will, please, this morning. By the way, Brother Hoots, Roger Hoots, he's preaching this morning the first time that he's been to church in 2 months or been able to be in his pulpit. And because he's had several bypasses, and he said it's been quite an experience. And so I'm glad the Lord's going to let him preach. I told him he better pace himself. And so anyhow, don't forget that right there. He's not one of these crazy preachers either that say, "Oh man, I don't care if I even die in the pulpit." Well, if you really believe that, and that's the kind of thinking you've got, don't ever tell anybody else that. Because it'd be better for them to think you're stupid than for you to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You imagine what that would do if I fell dead in a pulpit, all these little boys and these girls. I mean, do you realize how many people could trample on them, shouting and glad that I'm dead and gone, and while they were crying? You know. And so anyhow. All right, take your Bible, 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And man, what a blessing that it is to get down here to the house of God. I know on Sunday morning you like to sleep a little later. It's hard to get up and get out of bed and all that business there. But and nonetheless, it's always good when you finally get down to the house of God. I don't know about you, but I start out singing when the saints come dragging in. But somewhere between then and now, I get a little revitalized, you know. Get a little revival in my heart. Glad to see you. Glad to see the word of the Lord and glad to be able to hear it. And not only that, but all the good singing. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 13. If you find the place and you're able to stand, then do that. All right, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 13. If we believe not, I can't imagine anybody that doesn't believe, but the majority of people don't. If we believe not, are you in that category? I hope not. If we believe not, it says, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good that it is to be once again back here in the house of God. May you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. I remember the day you found me. I remember when you snatched me as a brand from the burning, birthed me into the family. I'm glad to be a part of the household of faith. And I praise you and thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now save, I pray, that soul nearest hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning on three things God cannot do. Now, here we are looking at it, and don't let that bother you real bad, because let me tell you something. The Bible said over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55, verse number 8 and 9, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than us. And let me tell you right now, the reason why you and I need to forsake our way and find out what God wants in your life and come to him as an empty-handed beggar is because that God is not only above all, but you'll find out there's no way ever to reach the height of what and who what God is and his knowledge. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that isn't that amazing? God created something out of nothing. You're sitting here this morning, and listen, we all of us descended from a man by the name of Adam and a woman by the name of Eve. And let me tell you right now, there's a lot of people out there, well, what if there's an extra life on another? Stop all that junk and all that woke ideology and just remember, buddy, that God's record is on high and is settled in heaven. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you recognize God created something out of nothing. How'd you like to be able to take something and like the dust of the ground and create a man out of it, or take one of his ribs and create a woman out of it? God took nothing and began creation and created all you can see and that which you can't see, by the way. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that our Lord and Savior, He spoke and it was done. Hey, do you realize that, oh, that's the way that when you got saved, God was knocking on your heart's door. God was getting you ready. God was bringing you under conviction. God made you tremble in His presence. And then when you responded and received the Lord, He spoke and you were made anew in a flash and in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye as we're going to be leaving here. I'm glad to know that me and Jesus don't have our own thing going. He's paid the sin debt on Calvary's old rugged cross. And I'm glad that I'm His and He's mine. It's been because of the redemptive blood that He shed at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Do you know that the Bible said that even the sparrows, that two sparrows, they may fall to the ground, but they don't escape the attention of God? I mean, God knows everyone that's ever been out there that ever flew and that ever failed. You talk about God pays attention, and He says, and you are more important than sparrows. That means He's watching what you're doing. He knows how many times you've said no to Him and how many times you went your own direction, how many times you decided to put off till tomorrow what He has tugged on your heart to do about today. Let me tell you right now, you may think that you're going to go on forever like you're doing. But I got news for you, honey. You're going to look around one of these days and be 73. Are you going to look around one of these days, be turning 82? You're going to look around one of these days, get in the picture? I'm going to tell you, yesterday's gone forever and tomorrow may never come. If you're going to be anything for God, you better be it right now, because of the fact is that you may not have tomorrow. I mean, somebody said, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Who told you had tomorrow? In fact, God said, don't be bragging about tomorrow. You don't know what a day is going to bring for them. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, number one, we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. Do you know that the Bible said that even though that we don't believe Him, I hope you do believe Him, but even if you don't believe Him, it doesn't change God one iota. I've had people, you know, that tell me, well, you know, I don't believe in God. Well, that ain't going to change God one bit. You can go ahead and be an atheist or claim to be an atheist. Most people that claim to be an atheist take God's name in vain a lot. I ask them whenever I catch them doing it, why don't you use your own name? You don't believe in God. Why don't you use your own name, somebody you do believe in? I got to tell you right now is that God, the Bible said, even if we believe not, that God cannot deny Himself. That's one of the things He can't do. You know why? Because He's Almighty, because He's holy, because you'll find out is that He is God, and make no mistake about it, is that even if nobody else wants to believe Him, in fact is, the Bible said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes again, shall He find faith on earth? You know, there's more and more people. Have you ever noticed that every now and again on the news they'll say, they ran a poll? They're always like, that bunch of poll cats has always got a poll. And said, we've got a poll, and Christianity, or people that believe in Christianity, there's fallen by the wayside. There's fewer and fewer that believe in God. That's because they never did get born again. Wow, yeah. See, you don't know anybody. Somebody said, well, I know somebody got born again. Now they don't believe. No, you don't. You know somebody that fools you into thinking you were born again. But let me tell you, when God saves your soul, moves inside your heart, and make no mistake about it, there's an ordained walk and an ordained talk, and there's an ordained life that God puts you and I in, and you can't help but be there involved in it. Some of you here this morning didn't want to come to church. All right, so it was me. But nonetheless, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You was hugged up to the pillow. I mean, you know. Do you ever jump up and you run to the bathroom and you think, oh my, I'm not going to have to get up for 5 more minutes, and you lay back down? My little old wife, bless her heart, she gets up and she slops hogs and dogs and chickens and ducks and this and that and all that business. And boy, she finally comes back, lets me. She gets up about an hour before I do, and then she comes back in there. And I've got this ear right here. I don't know if it's my good ear or bad ear. Well, whichever one it is, I can't hear that alarm when it goes off. And if I'm laying where I can hear it, I turn my ear over to that other side to where I can't hear it. That's sort of how we do with God, isn't it? I mean, boy, we're listening as long as it's praise and thanksgiving and positive and making us feel good. And the moment that it's negative and makes us feel bad, we turn our ears and put that good ear back down. I want to say to you that though we deny him, the Bible said God is faithful and he cannot deny himself. I begin to think about when you begin to look at that over in the book of Romans, and you can turn there or you can just listen to it and write it down later. But there's a passage over in the book of Romans, and I want you to listen in verse number 9. It's chapter 10, and it's in verse number 9. And here's what he said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now here's what the idea is when you look into him. Do you really and truly believe in God? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ had to die for your sins, pay the sin debt, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, that whosoever believes in him with all their heart might be saved? Do you believe that? Well, if you don't believe that, it's not going to change God, and you're going to bust hell wide open. What a gracious God. Look back in your text there in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You remember when God enlightened you? Remember whenever you came as an empty-handed beggar? By the grace of God, unmerited favor. I don't deserve this, Lord, but thanks be unto God for your grace and for your mercy. Do you ever remember that? What a time that it is when God enlightens us. And not only that, but you'll find out is that there's some endurance. As a good soldier, we endure some things for the cause of Christ. Not only that, but we evangelize and tell people about the Lord. I was somewhere. Everybody was somewhere this week. I was over, it was maybe last week. And you know, there's a lot of opportunities that you pass up. I don't know about you, but there's a few people there. And well, in fact, is we've got good people that are here. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I can't complain. I can. I'm a habitual griper. And if you catch me on a bad day where I'm at a loss, stick with me a few minutes. It'll come. I guarantee you, it'll come to me. Where are you going? No. I've always wanted to do that. Anyhow, I was over there. I tell you where it was. It was at Cabela's, at a counter there. And I was busy there, and we were looking at guns and this and that. And of course, you know, you're not going to be able to talk very long without finally something coming up about politics. And people, you know, have to be careful about whenever they've got a job, you know, lest they get fired from being. But I can say whatever I want to. I'm the customer, and the customer's always right. But anyway, they were talking about, and somebody and bringing it up there, one there at the gun counter, and he brought up the subject, and here's what he said. And he said, you know what? He said, it's getting rougher and rougher. He said, I'm a veteran, by the way, and I certainly wanted to thank him for his service and so forth and on. And God bless you and thank you for your service, and you know how that is there. But anyhow, the long and short, he wanted to know, he said, this is not the same world we used to live in. I said, no, it's probably never going to be again. I said, I told somebody the other day that it was either going to take the coming of the Lord, either the coming of the Lord to straighten all this out, or a lot of bloodshed. And here's what he said, I'm afraid that it's going to be the latter. I said, I'm afraid you're right too. But nonetheless, I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, is that I wanted to put on his mind that it ain't always going to be like this. There's going to be a Lord and Savior coming. Almighty God is going to come incarnate in human flesh. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, if you and I are not careful, we just go through life with a bunch of little small talk. And never talk when the door's wide open. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find that though we may deny him, he cannot deny himself. Number two is, I want you to see that God, while you turn to Titus in chapter number one, over in the book of Titus in chapter number one, and about verse number 1-3, I want you to watch what he says. You'll catch it. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In other words, if you're one of the elect of God, you've acknowledged the truth of God, and your life now is after godliness. You got that? In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. You know what God can't do? He can't lie. He promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now I want to say to you that, if you will, that not only can God not deny himself, God cannot lie. And let me tell you right now, is you'll find out, is that concerning the faith of God's elect. Do you realize that, oh, that the Bible said that those men endured, and it was for the sake of the gospel that the elect might be saved? If John Calvin had been right, he was born to go to heaven or go to hell, nothing you can do about it, wouldn't be no need in him suffering, would it? But God said, I'm sending out men, and I'm preaching the gospel, and many of them will be tortured, many of them will die. Men and women and boys and girls that know the Lord Jesus Christ will pay some price in their life for being able to trust him as their Lord and Savior. I want to tell you something, when you begin to look into it, is that God promised before the world began eternal redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something, is that you're going to find out that's a long time for a promise to get fulfilled. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, now I realize, though, that y'all look pretty good to me, but God knows what's in your heart. I realize, though, that if somebody were to ask me, hey, should they be allowed to go into heaven? Well, sure, I'm not going to be so cruel and mean. I mean, especially if I'm not mad at you. But when I get a hold of myself, sure, I'm not going to, I don't know the ultimate yet, but God's way's not my way. He may see something in you that I can't see. You see? I guarantee you, if it's lacking, he knows it. This Bible said that he promised before the world began. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not saved. Why not? I mean, God's promise before the world was ever created, before the world ever began. God promised to give you eternal life. Do you think God's lying about it? See, in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we've been manifesting his will and his word by the gospel. That's Jesus died on the cross, buried in the tomb, resurrected in the third day according to the scriptures. And let me tell you, God promised that before the world ever began. Look in verse number 9 of Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word. You know what you can depend on? The word of the Lord. As he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. I want to tell you something. God cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. And the promise that he made before the world began, he'll fulfill it right here this morning if you're lost, undone without God. All right, look in the book of James quickly, and we'll look at number 3. In the book of James, in chapter number 1, and about verse number 13. The Bible said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he with any man. Now, I remember years ago, and I was running a little old insurance thing way back when. You know, there's one thing about a good church that loves you and loves God, loves the Bible. When they get a little crossways with you, or they're mad, they're not happy, now, all of a sudden, they're either leaving or holding back their money, and as a preacher, you got to finally go to work and do something to make ends meet. You better know that's right. But anyhow, I was working, and there was a black man. I'm not saying that because he's black, because he was just a black man. Every time we went by, and he claimed to be a Christian, he wasn't, but he claimed to be. And every time he'd go by a woman, you know, and in the insurance business world or any other thing you're doing, just going to Walmart, there's going to be a lot of skin that you're going to find. In fact, if some of those insurance men, they were going in and swapping out some kind of favors to be able to get that premium paid for the month. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? A lot of that goes on in the business world, period. Anyhow, the long and short is that every time you seen a woman that was hefty and was, she was glad she was hefty and part of her hefty was hanging out, he'd say, "You know what hefty is, don't you?" Yeah. That's a hidden word. But in English, we know what it means. Here's what he would do. He'd say, "Excuse me, Lord, but I'm just a man." Well, I got to tell you, honey, that ain't going to be no excuse when you stand before God. I realize, I know, the temptation of the flesh, and I realize we're all subject to like passion, but you better get a hold of yourself. Do you understand me? Listen, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop one from landing and building a nest and correcting your mind full of junk and stuff. This Bible said that when you begin to look into this lesson here, God cannot be tempted. Well, you know, Lord, that's the way you made us. Oh, no. No, God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You know what God can't do? Can't tempt you with something that's evil. God can deliver you. The Bible said you and I are tempted when we're drawn away of that passage there of our own lust. It's lust that gets in our way that's battling against the Lord. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, not only is God not tempted with evil, I want to tell you something. God cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. God cannot be tempted. Look in Titus chapter 1, excuse me. Look in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. And the Bible said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." See, every now and again, something's going to come along and tempt you. And there better be some endurance. If you got no endurance whatsoever, you're in sad shape. "For when he is tried, he shall receive," look, "the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, I want to tell you something. What that ends up saying, and in the essence of it, is this. Is that when you read that passage and you notice there's a crown of life that accompanies those that are able to endure some temptation. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out is that there's five crowns that are in the Bible. We're not going to take time to look at them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 25, there's an incorruptible crown for running the race lawfully. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19, there's the crown of rejoicing. And boy, what a rejoicing it is to see somebody that you prayed for, somebody you've witnessed to, somebody that you've had part in, their conversion and their Christian growth in life, a crown of rejoicing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, there's a crown of righteousness. And let me tell you something, is that the Lord will give to every righteous judge that loves his appearing. And then in chapter number 2 of Revelation 10, James 1, 12, that we've already read, there's a crown of life. Now this is not everlasting life. What this is the crown that you've exercised being able to endure temptation and said no to the flesh, the world, the devil, and said yes to God. There's a crown of life for right living. And let me say to you, and then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, there's a crown of glory that'll be given. Do you realize, though, that even if you just give one of God's children a cup of cold water in his name, you'll in no wise lose your reward? Do you realize and do you know is that the crown of life is for saying no to the world, to the flesh, to the devil, and yes to God, and enduring tempestuous or temptation, if you will, please. I want to say to you that as we get ready to leave here this morning, is that the question is, do you believe what this Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Either you believe it or you don't. If you don't believe it, 1 John 5, about verse 10, you've made God a liar because you've received not His only begotten Son that paid the sin debt over 2,000 years ago, that you might have a promise that was before the foundation of this world that we're living in. I don't know about you. I just want to say, thank you, Lord, I believe you. Every now and again I say, Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief. Just about every day things in life. I'm glad to know that I'm saved by the grace of God, but these are three things that God cannot do. He can't deny himself. God's not ever going to lie. God cannot lie. Whatever he says, you can just carry it to the bank with you, buddy. They don't believe it, but it's true. And then not only that, is that you'll find out that God cannot be tempted with evil. So the next time that you hear somebody say, well, you know, I just couldn't, I gave in to temptation, but God shouldn't have let it come. No, no, that ain't God's fault. That's your fault, my fault, our fault. See? In this lesson that we're looking at here this morning, my question to you as we get ready to go, do you believe him? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, as our musicians are coming, there might be. I'd like to be able to repent toward God and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we ask you now that as we finish this lesson and this sermon, may, Lord, you tug on any and every heart that ought to be tugged on. You know the need, and you know us better than we know ourselves. I'm glad you're in the saving business, in the forgiving business. May, Lord, people come accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
Page 165.
165. You need to come.